Hello, everyone, and welcome back after a couple of weeks away to the Second City podcast. I'm Daniel Sketchley, and as ever, I'm joined by Callum Byrne, who is hot off the heels, fresh off the plane from the Philippines, I believe. You've been away with work for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, 12 days, about almost not quite a 50-50 split between Hong Kong and the Philippines. But yeah, I've just freshly come off the plane this morning after doing about almost 20 hours continuously on a plane, which was that was an experience.
Commitment to the cause. But yeah, it sounds like you had a great time and stuff. Pretty class places to go to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've bought the sunshine back as well.
Yeah,
Not the temperature, but the sunshine.
It's lovely. I went for a big run this morning. It's absolutely beautiful here today. And you had your birthday when you were out there as well. 20 in the 27 club now.
I did. Yeah. That was pretty cool. It definitely for like an age that's probably not a memorable one, it'd be a memorable birthday. But yeah, no, it was great out there. Like,
Class.
it's culturally, it's just so different.
Yeah. Hong Kong's wicked. I went to Hong Kong about 10 years ago. It's a wicked place. Amazing. Awesome. Shall we get on to the association football?
Yes.
Pretty big. So the last one we did, it's been a couple of weeks because you were away. We just couldn't find a way to do a pod last week. It was like the time difference is like 8 hours and you're like really busy and everything. So
normally when I'm away with work in Europe, it's not too bad because it's only about an hour or maybe two, but eight hours was just a bit too much.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously like the schedule's been kind of weird as well because Blues played on Good Friday and then the Monday. But yeah, so the last pod we did was Rowett had hadn't even actually been announced technically as the Blues interim manager to come back. But obviously that was announced later that day as we very much thought it would be a couple of weeks ago. And then, since then he's had the international break to work with the players, or most of it anyway. And now with the first couple of games under him, and Villa have had another game you played on Saturday, didn't you? Against Wolves.
Yes.
Cool. So we'll get into all of that, a little bit of housekeeping as well, and then we'll look ahead to this weekend's games. So, as always, though, first of all, getting a little bit rusty. It's been a few weeks since we did it. But we'll start with what we're wearing, as always. So I'm sure you know the format by now. Cal, do you want to go first this week, or should I? It's up to you.
I think you should guess first this week because
Sure.
I'm gonna need an extra 5 minutes to think about the one you're wearing.
Sure.
So what do you think of this one?
That to me looks like a goalkeeper kit.
It's a nice sort of tealy green Kappa
kazoo
sponsored.
Yeah, I can imagine Emi Martinez wearing that. I think it's a keeper kit. I'm gonna say 2021 goalkeeper kit.
On the money, 21-22.
Oh, really? Oh, well, okay.
Goalkeeper. I believe it was the away goalkeeper shirt. Not that the goalkeeper kits really are like
need
very strict
home
with home away third, because you kind of wear whatever is dependent on between the referees and the two sets of outfielders. But yeah, I absolutely love the shirt. I remember I always check the goalkeeper kits when they come out. Maybe it's because I used to play in goal, and so I always kind of intrigued to see what the keeper kits are like. And I remember seeing this one when it was released and going, oh, I really like that. Annoyingly, though, goalkeeper kits, they don't make that many of them, really, because the demand isn't quite as high.
Yeah.
But it means that the price of them doesn't come down as the season goes on. All you find is that they just sell out at like the 50, 60 quid bracket. So if you have to buy it, you're going to have to pay full whack for it. So I remember like putting it off as long as I dared until there was only like three mediums left on the store. And this was maybe around like the January of 2022. I go, right, I'll have to buy it now. It's not coming down anymore and it's going to sell out. So
yeah.
Rarity wise, quite a rare one. So there you go. Goalkeeper kits. They can be quite rare. They hold their value, especially as the years go on by the looks of things.
Yeah, you said that because I don't think I've ever owned a goalkeeper kit ever, apparently. Although our yellow John Ruddy's yellow one this year is very nice. I think that'd be a nice just away kit in general. Yeah, cool, very good. Good luck guessing mine then. So it's a
stab in the dark. This Le Coq Sportif.
Yep.
Auto windscreens.
It's a sort of pink, like striped, sort of a block on the outside of blue, and then sort of white pinstripes in the middle.
It's almost like a penguin kit, but the white part of the penguin is stripy blue.
Yeah, so it's not pinstripes, I shouldn't say. But yeah, badges in the middle. Yes. It is, I believe, on my iconic kits poster.
It is,
me.
I can just about see it, yeah.
You can't see the year, though.
I can't see the year, so it doesn't narrow it down at all.
Sure.
It looks maybe late 90s, possibly. We'll go with 97, 98 home.
You're not far off. This is 99, 2000 home. So this, yeah, this is the 1999 kit. Obviously, I was like, we were like 2 years old at the time, so I don't have any specific memories myself of this season. But yeah, pretty classic 90s blues shirt, I would say. It'd be interesting to see a modern remake of this one, although I don't know how feasible that'd be. But yeah, this season, so this would have been our penultimate full season under Trevor Francis, I believe, as manager. And we actually finished fifth this season. So we got into the playoffs in what is now the Championship, so the old First Division. First Division would have been called back then. So we played Barnsley in the playoffs, but they actually knocked us out quite comfortably. We lost the first leg at St Andrews 4-0. And then we won the second leg 2-1, but obviously we lost 5-2 on aggregate. And Rowett actually scored in that game as well, having looked into that. And that's why I thought it'd be a cool one to wear, because Gary Rowett, last week I wore a Gary Rowett kit from when he was a manager. This is actually Gary Rowett as a Blues player era. So I thought it'd be quite nice to get it on. So if you look up like any sort of photos of Gary Rowett when he was playing for Blues, photos of him in this kit are kind of the first thing that come to mind. So yeah, he played for us in this era. So I thought it'd be nice to get it on. This season, so highlights, we did the double over West Brom, including a 3-0 win away at the Hawthorns. This was the season where we signed Stan Lazaridis, who obviously went on to play for the club in the Premier League and was part of the promotion season and so on. Wicked player from Australia. And we also actually had Michael Carrick on loan this year as well, who came in from West Ham for a couple of games. I think he only started one game. Kind of would have been very young at the time, probably a teenager still. Other players that were part of the team this season, you got like, you know, Darren Purse, Ian Bennett, Martin O'Connor, Martin Granger. Pretty classic team, kind of the beginnings of the team that went on to get promoted in 2002, so a couple of years before that. 99-2000, yeah, very nice.
I don't think that's a shirt that I could see as a modern remake, like
no,
you said.
Maybe
it's
not.
Just it'd be too crazy, I think, for a modern shirt, but
yeah,
for one from the 90s, you just look at it and go, oh, classic.
Yeah, shout out to James for lending it to me.
Top stuff. So we'll go into the games then over the Easter weekend. So Blues obviously played twice. So we'll start with the glorious day at QPR, I suppose.
Yeah. We played QPR away on Good Friday. So it was a huge game. Two teams that are right down there this year. And obviously, I won't spend too long on it because obviously the kind of the circumstances have changed and so on. But with the game on Easter Monday, but we did lose 2-1, which at the time felt like a huge blow. Rowett's first game back in charge, and we actually went 1-0 up after about an hour, with Bakuna scoring a really nice goal actually. So to then lose 2-1, I think it was two defenders that scored both the goals as well. Steve Cook got the first one, it was a deflection to be fair, and then the second one, I don't know if you've seen it, he's a centre back, isn't it? Yeah, it's like he's just caught it perfectly on the volley, and Ruddy's got absolutely no chance. And QPR won again yesterday, I think. So I think they're pretty much...
They did, yeah.
Yeah, with them two wins, they're, you know, looking pretty good now all of a sudden. In the moment it was frustrating. I didn't get to go to the game. I just caught the second half. I caught most of the game on WM after work. And then just caught up on the highlights and so on. And from everyone I spoke to and from watching it and listening to it, it sounds like even though we're 1-0 up, we probably can't have too many complaints about it. It sounded like QPR were probably the better team, like, you know, kind of so I'm not too bitter about it in that sense. I thought Rowett came out and said all the right things afterwards. He was very calm and very like level-headed about it, whilst everyone else was like losing their minds because we hadn't won a game since the Sunderland game in the middle of February when Mowbray was still in charge. So yeah, it wasn't the, like the instant boost that we'd hoped for under Rowett. But we'll get onto more of that with the Preston game later on, for sure, which was maybe more of what we were hoping for. So yeah, if I had to grade it, I'd give it like a D, losing to a relegation rival down the bottom, but wasn't panic stations just yet for me, at least. Man of the match, hard to comment. I'd say, I don't know. Bakuna took his goal really nicely, so I'll maybe give it to him. Although I think Rudy has kept us in games at times the last few weeks as well, to be fair, until quite late on. Interestingly, it was the third game since Mowbray left where we've lost to a last minute or stoppage time goal. Because we lost this one at QPR. We lost Millwall, was 1-0 in the last minute. And Southampton, we lost 4-3. That was... Who scored the winner there? I can't remember. That feels like ages ago. But yeah, that was another last-minute goal anyway. And three-word match review. Wait until Monday, I think was... At the time on Friday, I was like, you know, let's see how Monday goes. But yeah, so that's QPR. I think it was... On a side note, when we played QPR and Preston in the reverse fixtures this season, Eustace was still in charge. And we played QPR on a Friday night and we drew 0-0. And we played Preston and we lost 2-1. That feels like so long ago. I think it was September.
Preston were like top of the league though when you played them.
And we played really well. Bielik scored that own goal where he like... We were 1-0 up and that feels like... We probably just started the pod. That feels like so long ago now. This is, you feel like you say the season's gone quick and it has, but then you think back to games at the very start of the season and that feels like a different lifetime, honestly. So yeah, we lost 2-1 to QPR, but of all the goals to lose to, it's not a bad one, to be fair. So yeah, that was Blues on Friday. We'll get onto the Preston game in a moment. But first of all, on Saturday, you played Wolves in the Premier League, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm really glad you didn't call it the West Midlands Derby, Dan.
No, don't worry. I'm not like that. I don't worry, no.
It does my head in when they say it on the commentary. It's like, I get it, it's a local rivalry, but they're like, if you were grading them, they're number three for both of us.
Yeah, I saw an article, I can't remember where it was, last time you played them, and it was like, where does Villa and Wolves rank in great rivalries in England? I'm like, nowhere, it's not even... Yeah. Even I would consider Wolves like our third. I would put Baggies above Wolves, personally, in terms of like... this rivalry and so on, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. I had a really difficult decision to make as well for this game, Dan, because obviously with the 8-hour time difference, kickoff for a 5:30 in England was 1:30 in the morning.
Sure.
So I didn't stay up till... I didn't watch it live. I watched it... I got up at 6:30 instead and watched it fully on a rewind. So it was well worth my time in the end because we played very, very well. We obviously won 2-0. Moussa Diaby back amongst the goals, and Ezri Konsa with his first goal since very, very early into Steven Gerrard's tenure as manager. I mean, we didn't start the game particularly well. Wolves were probably the better team for the opening 15 minutes or so, but as we grew into the game, we really just controlled it, really. They had one very, very, very good chance, which Aitnori 100% should have scored. And I think he thought he was offside and just sort of lashed at it and hit it straight at Emi Martinez, who does very, very well. It's a very, very good save, but it's one where you'd look at it and go, he should have scored. It was harder to miss than it was to score, and he missed. So, but after that, we tended to just control the game, took the lead through a relatively well-worked set piece. Diaby thumps at home to make it 1-0. And then, second half, we continue just to control possession, look after it. Obviously, Ollie Watkins went off at half-time with a tight hamstring, so hopefully he's okay. I don't know for sure. My gut feeling is that it was just a precaution. He's obviously played a lot of games. He was just on international. And given that, like, we've had so many players out through either suspension or injuries, I would imagine the word in the dressing room is the moment you think you're not 100%, come off the pitch. Because we've got, especially at this point in the season, we're in the run-in now. We've got the quarterfinal of the Conference League coming up next, not next week, the on the 11th. So yeah, like, not very long away at all. So my gut feeling is it was just a precaution. I thought John Duran did very, very well when he came on, as did Nicolò Zaniolo, who's all of a sudden just found a bit of form. He obviously got the goal against West Ham, and I thought he was absolutely brilliant when he came on. And you know, it's the first time where I've really looked at him and gone, yeah, there is obviously a player in there somewhere. Like, he was really good at Roma, and it just hasn't really worked out. And ultimately, he's not going to be an Aston Villa player past this season. I'd be very, very surprised if he was. But I do believe that if the right manager might be able to get that extra something out of him that will turn him from being like an average player into a good player. But yeah, Ezri Konsa got a second goal where his cross was slightly mishit and went in at the back post, but I think John Duran would have scored the tap in anyway had it not have gone in. And after that point, Wolves just sort of crumbled. They almost conceded a third straight away, but alas, we couldn't get the third. But we were very, very comfortable at 2-0. Gary O'Neill, who's done a really, really good job at Wolves, especially I think after Lopetegui left, I think most people would have had them as dead certs to go down, possibly. Obviously, we didn't know how bad Sheffield United and Burnley were going to be. But he's done a very, very good job there. They
Yeah,
could
sure.
and probably should get a top half finish. But his comments after the game about, well, if you look at our XG, it's like,
Yeah, it's like it was needless as well for him to come out and say that. He's had a good season. Don't get into all that, you know. Don't like. I'm sure he's annoyed to have lost, but I don't.
and
He's
also,
better than that.
if football was played on XG, which it isn't, but hypothetically, if it was, I think Wolves would be like 16th in the table
Yeah,
based on
sure.
XG. So it's
Yeah.
like, don't come out of the game and go, well, on the XG, we would have won.
That have
But
probably been relegated quite a while ago, if it was all
yeah.
on next year.
Yeah, so it has been in a bit of a slump, the home record in the league, especially. I think we'd lost 4 out of the last 5
All right.
at home.
Didn't
I'm
realize,
not sure if that's
but
across, yeah, I'm not sure if that's across all competitions or not, but certainly in the Premier League, we lost to Newcastle, then lost in the FA Cup to Chelsea, lost to Man United, lost to Spurs. So we've had a couple of, we've, I think we've had, we've won 3 of the last 4 at home in all competitions. So the loss was obviously the Spurs game, but we beat Forest, Wolves, Ajax. So, and we've obviously got Brentford at home on the weekend, and then we've got Lille. Two tough games there, especially Brentford, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah, 3-word match review. 2003 curse broken. And I say this because the first time we beat Wolves in the Premier League since 2003.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's not. It's definitely not.
In the Premier League,
It's definitely not. There
it
was that
is.
game where you beat Heskey scored a header against him once for you.
Away from home.
You didn't say that. Yeah. Oh, did you?
I said at home. It's the
Oh, did you?
first time
Oh,
we've beaten them
sorry.
at home in the
Oh,
Premier
sorry.
League
Did you?
since
Sorry, sir.
2003.
Oh,
Maybe
sorry,
I
sir.
didn't,
Ignore me.
but that's the stat.
I can't remember. I can't remember. Fair enough, anyway. That's mad, nonetheless. That's mad,
Yeah.
nonetheless.
But our record at Molineux is dreadful as well, though.
Yeah.
Like, we've for some reason, like, you know, you look at our record in the second City derby.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's especially in our lifetime, we've tended to be the team that wins that derby pretty much. As whereas you look at our games versus Wolves, we don't tend to win them very often.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we beat, although I suppose we don't play that much. But yeah, our record against Wolves isn't great in the last 10 years or so either, really.
Yeah, the big day out for them, isn't it? You know.
It is, yeah, it is, bless them. But yes, fair enough. Yeah, 21 years, that is an awful long time. And they've been up for a long time now as well. That's pretty mad that
Yeah.
they've been up for 6 or 7 years now. So it's pretty mad that you haven't.
We should have beat them where we were 2-0 up with like 10 minutes to go and lost 3-2. And that's obviously when the
Blimey.
Dean Smith era, that was the game that just set the dominoes in motion for the end of the Dean Smith era. We never recovered from that game where we were cruising and just in classic Aston Villa fashion, just somehow threw the game away and lost. But yeah, going back to this season, I suppose, Moussa Diaby will be my man of the match. He's finding his form again. You know, there was a lot of, I've spoken to a lot of fans, especially in the run up towards the Ajax game, going, if we can just get him back in form like he was at the start of the year, all of a sudden, the confidence will just really start flowing again. And not just for him, but obviously for us as well. So he's looking back to his best again. I thought Youri Tielemans was excellent as well. He's having to cover John McGinn in that number six role, and he's doing really, really well in there. Obviously, the big test will be on Wednesday night. Should he play in that role? We don't know. And then what? Oh, a grade. I'll give it an A. I thought we were pretty dominant really throughout, bar that opening spell of the game where we were a bit slow. We have been a bit like that. It's a complete contrast to last year. We were such fast starters in games last year. I think we were either the team that scored the most goals in the opening 15 minutes, or we were right at the top of that statistic last year, as well as this year we've tended to start games a lot slower. And we've seen it at the start of second halves as well. We've conceded a lot of goals at the start of second halves, for example. So, but overall, clean sheet, rare clean sheet for us. In the Premier League. So, yeah. Obviously, Luton couldn't quite do us a favour against Spurs, but Brentford have, surely you'd think at this point, knocked Manchester United out of the top four race. And so...
Yeah, it's looking very healthy for you guys.
Things are
now.
Looking good.
Yeah.
It looks like we're going to get the five Champions League spots anyway. So,
someone was telling me, I know this is unlikely, but it's something like if West Ham won the Europa League, the Champions League would be the top six or something.
Yes,
which is so, just so ridiculous.
If West Ham win the Europa League, if West Ham win the Europa League, there'll be six teams in
that. That is ridiculous.
The Champions League.
It's my old, you know, being cranky here, but I think four is pushing it. You know, I think mental. I wouldn't be complaining if I was sixth in the Premier League. If Blues were sixth in the Premier League right now,
it's crazy though, because with just five, that's a quarter of the teams in the Premier League are going to be.
But imagine
a
team
League.
As average as this Man United team getting in the Champions League is crazy. We played again yesterday as well. Then going back to Blues, Easter Monday, we played Preston at home. So another confession: I also didn't go to this game either. It's only the second home game this season I've missed. I haven't just forgot about football.
And you couldn't be swayed by the UB40 concert.
I couldn't, I'm afraid. Family always comes first, of course. But I'll get onto the UB40 thing. But Blues first. So in terms of the actual performance. So yeah, Rowett's first home game. I thought it was cool as well. He put on his Instagram, or his PR person put on his Instagram, a throwback to his first home game in 2014 when we beat Watford 2-1 at home and Clayton Donaldson scored twice. And he was like, you know, we need to I remember that atmosphere that night. We need to really bring that, you know. It just made me think of that game. I was at that game. That was absolutely, that was like a rebirth of Blues. It was after a really torrid, I think we'd lost 8-0 to Bournemouth a couple of weeks before. So that was a really, really great game. One of the best in like the Championship era, I would say. It was really spectacular. But yeah, so against QPR, he went for a back three, interestingly. Obviously, we lost 2-1, didn't really go to plan. So he kind of went back to a 4-2-3-1 for this game. Quite traditional for us this season, really. He had Ivo and Sanderson at centre-backs, and then Laird and Buchanan as the full-backs. So I'm not going to do like the whole grade and man of the match and all that, because unlike the QPR game, not only did I not go, I didn't get to really keep up with it or anything. So I'm kind of having to just go off like the highlights again and the word of mouth and so on. I am going to Leicester away this weekend, just to clarify. I do still attend football matches. but yeah, just this week. But yeah, so we won 1-0, and that is a huge result. It was only our 8th clean sheet of the season, only our 11th win all season in 40 games. And when you consider that three of our wins came in the first four games of the season, that really is quite... By the end of August, we'd got three of our 11 wins this season, which is, yeah, is pretty mad. First win since Mowbray. I think it was Mowbray's last game against Sunderland, which is the big sellout game. Yeah, so we won 1-0. Jay Stansfield scoring in, I think it was the 68th minute. And in contrast to the QPR game, it absolutely sounded like we deserved this. We dominated on possession, on shots. And the goal... so Koji Miyoshi's threaded in Stansfield, and Stansfield's ran with it pretty much from the halfway line. And he's just got very fortunate that Preston centre-back has slipped and Stansfield's just been able to have a free charge at goal. And you can sort of see the... It made me think watching it of, you know, like the famous like Hotter miss against Villa.
Yeah.
where he had exactly the same opportunity presented to him and he absolutely blew it. Very refreshing to have a player like Stansfield, who keep his head and slide home. And it's really great seeing the fans, like, you know, they can, in the anticipation as he's like charging in on goal.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to bash on Scott Hogan, but that's what... I'd much rather have Stansfield in that situation than Hogan. And so, you know, I've been a little worried about this run-in with, even with Rowett coming back, which I'm delighted about. But, you know, Duke is injured with I think he's in a knee brace at the minute by the sound of things. And, you know, we don't have... I'm not saying these are great players, but we don't have, like, a lot of the tough guys anymore. Like, we don't have, you know... Obviously, Duke's injured. We don't have, like, Michael Morrison... You know, Harley Dean, David Davis, you know, like, I'm not saying Kifton Beld, I'm not saying they're like great players because they're not, but they were players that were battlers and would get us through these, had been there and done it. We don't have a lot of them this season. And I found a real irony in like I'm not saying anyone's wrong, but like when Rooney was there, everyone was saying our Blues don't have the players to play this sort of progressive possession based style that everyone wants in, that he wants them to. And now we're trying to go a bit more route one. Everyone's like, well, we don't really have the battlers and the, you know, everyone, these are all kind of, you know, like your Peck Sung Hoes and your Andre Dizels, you know, they're not like that, you know. And I'm like, well, yeah, what, like, this is the problem. We're neither. We're kind of, we're not great at anything anymore, to say that at least, were we ever, I suppose. But no, we won 1-0, a huge win. Good to see Stansfield get the goal. And, you know, obviously, been on a little bit of a drought. We haven't, in general, in goal, we had a huge goal drought in general of late. So yeah, huge win, and hopefully this triggers just, you know, resurgence. I know Leicester is a really tough game at the weekend,
but they're not in good form.
They're not in good form. They won at the weekend, but they're not in great form. But I think we're on 42 points now. I think if we got two more wins, this puts us up to 20th. We're 2 points clear of the relegation zone now. I think if we got two more wins, I think we might be all right. We've got Rotherham away. So touch wood, you'd think, although they got a result the weekend as well. But the penultimate game is Huddersfield. That is going to be huge. Huddersfield are currently 22nd. I think, so yeah, Rotherham are 24th. They're going to go. Sheffield Wednesday, they're 23rd. I wouldn't write them off. Is it Ugbo who's the striker they've got on loan from France? He's got goals in him.
Yeah.
Scored twice against us. He's just a proper, like, he's like a Clayton Donaldson type, you know, big strong man, you know, like target man to get the ball up to. Huddersfield, I can see, I would expect us to finish above them, but then Plymouth are 21st and they're on a really bad run, but they sacked their manager last night as well after the game, so, you know, let's hope they don't get a new manager bounce in there. So yeah, it's gonna be really chaotic until the end of the season, but no, it's a huge step. I'm so glad for Rowett that he could get that. And yeah, and I'm really looking forward to going to the game on Saturday as well. And yes, of course, obviously, they had the concert afterwards. UB40 played there and did the new Forever True song, which is like food for thought with some like original lyrics about blues put in there. And I've watched like the videos and stuff. And beforehand, I was like, it is a risk because if we lose again, no one's going to be in the mood for it. And I was also wondering, like, how capable is Blue? I know it's not like a concert. Like, I'm not saying they're going to host, like, a U2 gig, like, next week. But, like, is St. Andrews, like, capable of doing that anymore? But it looked great. They put, like, in the Gil American, they'd built, like, a sort of a makeshift stage. And then they had two, I don't know if they're going to be there permanently or what, but they had two, like, screens either side. So, obviously, the fans couldn't go on the pitch, but it meant they could have, like, you know, the video feed and could see things, you know, like at a concert. And it just looked great. Yeah. Everyone seemed in good voice. They pulled out the classics like Red Red Wine and Kingston Town and stuff. And you know, the sun was shining, spring vibes. I don't know. It looked really great. It looked like a really good atmosphere, and everyone seemed in a good mood. And yeah, it is. You know, I know the new owners are coming for a bit of flack recently with everything going on the pitch, but I don't know. It's refreshing to see stuff like that. So yeah, props to them. And yeah, looked really, really good. And I think the song's a banger as well. I really like it, honestly. Forever True.
So I absolutely loved what you had to say there about UB40, Dan. It's a shame I didn't hear the end of it because my AirPods died. But I'm sure. you spoke some great stuff, I'm sure.
Yes.
sticking with housekeeping then. In terms of Villa, there's not really too much to really talk about. Obviously, we just had the international break and Ezri Konsa got his first two caps for England, and obviously this was the last international break before Euro 2024. I think he's done pretty. He's definitely it. I think he'll probably go to Euro 2024 now. A versatile defender, he can play centre back, right back. Obviously, Ben White isn't going to go. You would say it'd be your first choice of that right back or centre back? But there's too much behind the scenes baggage there, I think. So I think he's got a great chance of going to Euro 2024, which will be really nice to see, because obviously you'd have thought without his injury, Tyrone Mings would have gone. So, I'm really, really happy for him. I'm glad there's no more international breaks now. And, you know, Matty Cash got injured on international duty, which was really annoying, because he's just found his form again and has been looking really, really good in the last few weeks. So, alas, we move on. But Euro 2024, we've got the run in to do yet. So I thought it was just worth a mention since
definitely something to look forward to. The Euros only a couple of months to go. I feel like if you're getting minutes on the pitch at this point in these last few friendlies, then I know they're only friendlies, but yeah, it's probably a good sign that he's in Southgate's plans. I do wonder how far down the pecking order Lee Buchanan would be on left backs, because England don't really have any good left backs, do they? But
it's very limited.
It can't be that far from the top. Because it's just they've got so many good right backs and no left backs really. That I think.
And then you've got players like Livramento, who can play left back, went and got injured at the weekend as well. So it's like,
it's a weird one. I think like Shaw's been injured, Chilwell and Trippier not playing very well. Wouldn't want to be him right now, but yeah. But no, cool. In the Blues housekeeping, so it feels like this was announced a little while ago, but it was actually after we did our last podcast, so I definitely got to touch on this. And this was the huge story that the Birmingham Mail, Birmingham Live, reported. Nothing official at the club yet, but the Birmingham Mail online, they released an article a week ago saying Birmingham City Council has sold the 48-acre former Wheels Park at Bordley Green to Birmingham City FC, we can exclusively reveal. We understand the club intends to create a multi-sports super stadium on the site. It's a massive step for the Championship Football Club, recently taken over by American owners, and triggers new speculation about the future of its historic home at St Andrews. A deal has been agreed as part of the struggling City Council's mass sell-off of land and property to help fund redundancies and equal pay claims. Up to 3,000 jobs will be created as part of the master plan for the site, according to council documents. Cool. So, nothing official out of the club, as I say, but that is not massively shocking news, I guess, in terms of it's been rumoured for quite a while, this Birmingham Wheels Park. Yeah. If you ever went there, it's like a go-kart. It's a go-karting place in Small Heath, Bordsley Green. So it's literally a stone's throw away. I'm pretty sure I went there as a kid once. But so this is huge news, really. It really is. And the rumours have been around about like them looking at the Wheels site and the plans to, you know, the 10-year plan under these new owners to move out of St Andrews and build a new stadium that will be used for things probably like concerts as well as football. And like, you know, there's been rumours about like NFL coming to Birmingham and stuff. I'm not going to get too into the whole like, you know, how sad it will be to leave St Andrews, because that's, I could do a whole podcast on that, and I'm sure we will eventually when the time is right. Just focusing on this aspect of it. It's like hugely exciting, shows the ambition of these guys, and they're very serious. 48 acres. nicking some stats from the Keeper at Arm podcast that Birmingham Live do. It's a great podcast, so big shout out to them. They were saying something that, like, the Man City one, the whole Etihad campus, you know, where, like, their stadium is and the training ground is, and the new Co-op Live arena,
the Academy
and everything.
Stadium. And...
yeah, the Academy, the women's team and all that. That's an 80-acre site, and they're kind of going for... that's, like, the inspiration, basically. Obviously, Gary Cook was at Man City for kind of the genesis of all of that. Probably trying to do something similar with Blues now. 48 acres,
that,
is not
and
small.
And that new co-op site there as well now.
Yeah, the new concerts venue, yeah. Yeah, 48 acres is nothing to be sniffed at. It's going to be pretty. So, look, we don't really know much else. It's going to be a long-term thing to see where it goes. But, yeah, massively exciting. I don't know what you think from the outside looking in. Be pretty...
yeah, I mean...
Being the small club in town in a few years.
Yeah. There's the obvious jokes that go around, Dan. Obviously, how does it feel that, you know, if you move to the Wheels Park site, part of your new stadium will be in Aston?
Will it?
There's like a small portion of it falls under Aston. Yeah.
I mean, your entire club is in Birmingham. So, yeah. I don't know. I've always thought as well, just not from like a football perspective, I find it mad that like... when like big bands come around now, if they're playing a stadium, they never come to Birmingham.
No.
Which
no,
is crazy. And you go to the Ricoh.
It's partly because I don't think we've tended to rent Villa Park out for those. Because right. Obviously, like, if you go back 10 years ago, like Take That did it. And
Springsteen did it last year, to be fair. So I suppose you can, but...
the Foo Fighters are doing it this year. So, but ultimately, you know, when you're comparing to like the Etihad, or, I mean, I saw the Killers at the Emirates. You know, Beyonce, I think, did she do the Spurs stadium? Like,
yeah,
Villa Park isn't designed as a multi-purpose venue. It's designed as a football stadium.
Exactly.
You know,
whereas the Ricoh in Coventry kind of is, like, it's a lot more accessible, easier to get for people that aren't like football fans, that aren't really like...
I mean, Villa Park's a nightmare to get in and out of on a match day. God knows what it's like when there's an extra 40,000 people there for a concert.
Exactly. And also, like, football fans will kind of tolerate, like, shitty turnstiles and concourses and all that, like casual
no mobile
goers
reception
probably won't. Yeah, like, you know, it's on a side note, I think it's really cool that Birmingham, I know we've got a lot of great arenas for concerts and stuff, but to get like a massive stadium that all the big guns come to as well, that later down the line, that could be really exciting as well. So yeah, keep tabs on that, could be really exciting.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do agree entirely. And, you know, obviously, we can't really do that because it would involve moving away from Villa Park. And Villa Park's in a, you know, you're comparing St Andrews and Villa Park. One of them is a more modern venue than the other. St Andrews has not been looked after by the previous ownership.
No,
and so, therefore, it makes sense for you to have a new stadium, as well as we're in a position where we can just upgrade the stadium. And if you are going to do that, you know, the opportunity is there to create, say, like an Etihad campus. It means that you could have like another, you know, you could have like a co-op Birmingham as a separate building and just on that campus, you know. You know, I don't want NFL at Villa Park because it's not designed for it. They're going to chew the pitch up. You know, you always remember when you used to go and play Hull or Wigan after they'd had the rugby league on it and the pitch just looked atrocious. You know,
they don't have that at Spurs, though, do they? Because they're like, you know, it's all built for
it. They have the two
pitches. You know?
Yeah. It's, but I would say, you know, obviously nothing's announced in its early days. It is highly important you don't get relegated, because I think it's all, you know, and the ambition, I would say, is for it to really come off. You'll need to get promoted for that Premier League money to make it work. So, you know.
Yeah. I think I completely agree. And like, if we did go down, obviously it would be a huge... delay on everything, but I think the fact that they've like gone out and bought this, and you know, that statement of intent, I highly doubt it came cheap. Even if Birmingham City Council is like, you know, obviously selling off
was going to touch on this as well. It is a damning indictment of the way of where the City Council is at the moment. They've gone bankrupt, they're sort of being used as an example by the government to just, they're happy to let it run into the ground because. Obviously, election year, they're going to use it as propaganda in that. So, you know, it's, if some good stuff can come out of a very shit situation, then.
Yeah, of course. Awesome. Shall we get on to previewing this weekend's games then?
Yeah, we've got a double game week. Do you?
Oh, no, we do technically, yeah, because we're playing a week. Oh well, no, we'll cover. We've got a midweek game next week. We'll cover that next week. Because you're playing. I totally forgot the Premier League's playing midweek this week, isn't it?
I mean, it caught me out as well
Because
I've sort of been out the loop. So, yeah, we've got Manchester City on Wednesday night, 8:15 kickoff, I think. So, I mean,
side note, like bring that forward. Don't do it 8:15. If I got work
it's
early
because
the next morning,
it's because the TNT have got all the games. They'll have one at 7:30, and then
stagger them. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't envy people doing that commute back from Manchester when there's inevitable roadworks at like 11 o'clock in the evening. So, yeah, going to be a very, 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 very tough game. We haven't won there in the league in a long time. I actually couldn't tell you. It certainly wasn't in the 2010s, and hasn't been in the 2020s.
It'd be like
so.
probably pre like takeover, Man City.
Yeah, in fact, we used to be rubbish against them before the takeover. It could be a worse stat than that Wolves one from earlier. The last time I remember us beating Manchester City was in the, it would have been the Capital One Cup, as it was called, under Lambert. It would have been around 2013. We wore that lime green kit and we beat them in extra time in like the third or fourth round. Like 4-2 or something, and but yeah, we have never beaten them since. So, I'm not feeling overly positive. I mean, of all the Villa teams that are going to go to Manchester City, this is one that I feel more positive about. They're obviously not coming. They're not looking like the juggernaut they have been at sort of this stage of the season in previous years, where they from like February to May, where they just win every game out of nowhere. Obviously, that they are that they drew with Arsenal at the weekend, and it's actually put them on the back foot in the title race. And it has kind of felt this year that they've never really looked in control in the title race. Even I know last year, obviously Arsenal led for pretty much like all bar the last 5 weeks of the season or something. But there was always a feeling maybe in the second half of the season that Manchester City, if you were, were really on it, and it was, as whereas this year, it just hasn't happened yet. I don't know if I'm just waffling rubbish there, but
no, I agree. They're not as, don't be wrong, I wouldn't like the smash us still, but like they're not that level of fear factor. I don't think it's like not quite at 100% this year. It's not far off. They're still an immensely good team, and you wouldn't be shocked if they won the league and the Champions League and everything else this year. But yeah, they're not. It's not peak. It's not. I feel like a lot of them are like that this year, though. Like, I feel like, not to get off topic,
Liverpool.
Liverpool,
you compared to that Liverpool team from a couple of years ago. Like,
if this is Liverpool team is one of the, for all the great teams Klopp's had in the like nearly 10 years he's been there, I don't think this is one of them. I don't think this is like a top. Liverpool team. They're a very good team, very fun to watch, but no, all the other teams that didn't win the league, I'd find it kind of mad if this one did.
I'd 100% agree with that. But yeah, we'll see. Obviously, I don't think they haven't got Edison at the moment, so Arsenal obviously didn't test Ortega all that much, but I think if we can get pepper him with a few shots, especially early on, then put him under pressure. Because, as the sub goalkeeper filling in for one of the best goalkeepers in the world, there is going to be a bit of pressure as well. You don't play that many games. So, it's almost like a free hit for us, The most important thing is if we do go up there and lose, we don't destroy our goal difference, because it is very close with Spurs. And any form of draw or even if we can bring anything back to Villa Park, it's a great result. It's all going to, it's all points gained. So I did put us to lose in Super Six. I do think we'll lose. I said 2-1, but we'll see.
Fair enough.
Under promise, over deliver.
Yeah, fair enough. You did beat them earlier in the season, of course.
We did.
You got quite a big sign it all as well, haven't you? Because you're playing all three of the big three and then the top three in the next few weeks as well.
Yeah, and we're fortunate as well that Spurs have to play all three of them as well. So,
All right.
you know, obviously, if we were to lose on Wednesday and Spurs win their game in midweek, obviously people will look at the table and go,
Yeah.
but they've got to play Manchester. Their record against Man City is weirdly good, but like,
Yeah.
it's, you know, we've got very similar fixtures to the end, so.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, so Saturday we've got you're playing one of the top guns in the Premier League. We're playing one of the top guns in the Championship away at Leicester. And yes, so I'm going to an away day, so that should be nice. They're a weird one because we've already played them twice this season, and weirdly we lost them both, but felt quite positive both times, which is weird because one of them was under Rooney as well. We lost 3-2 at St Andrews just before Christmas, but actually played quite well. Probably one of the better performances under Rooney. And then we played them in the FA Cup fourth round and we lost 3-0, but that was mad because it was 0-0 at half time and we should have been 3-0 up ourselves at half time. Did everything but score. I think Mowbray had just gone in there and we were playing absolutely brilliantly. They're a weird one because they beat Norwich at the weekend, who are on a bit of a playoff charge themselves. Otherwise, they've been on a really poor run of form on the whole. They lost to Bristol City away the week before
Well,
that.
they've
They lost to
blown
QPR
like a
recently.
17-point lead, didn't
Yeah,
they?
we were talking about like record
Yeah,
points
they can't get that
total.
record anymore.
I'm not surprised. I think they've either got complacent or obviously they've got all this stuff about breaches of FFP
Yeah.
hanging over them, potential points deductions hanging over them. So that's all like
There's
I
a
wonder if
question
it's
mark
kind of.
whether it's actually good for them to go up or not, isn't it?
Yeah, and I wonder if it's just that thing of like, has it kind of killed momentum a bit? Because if they get up, are they just worried about then? Can they really enjoy it? As they got that in the back of their minds, and it's
Yeah.
just holding them back a little bit. And it's weird just watching players was he against Bristol City? Vardy was just missing like some of the chances he was missing.
He
Did you see the
missed four
one?
sitters, didn't he?
Yeah,
Yeah.
like absolute sitters, like just stuff you don't associate with some of their players. And there is no excuse because they have, in terms of the squad, their squad is unbelievable. They've got one of the best squads in the league.
That
And
squad
so,
would stay up in the Premier League this year.
yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah, 100%. So they have still got a game in hand on Ipswich and Leeds, but they are currently behind them. So they're currently sitting third, which was absolutely unthinkable a few months ago. So probably a good time to be playing them. There was a point when they were absolutely formidable, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you with the Man City game. It's kind of a bit of a free hit in a way. It's like a good time to be playing them, but they're still a very, very good team. And they won at the weekend against another good team in Norwich. So yeah, if I'm being brutally honest, I think Leicester will probably nick it. And that would be annoying because obviously we won at the weekend. And if results go against us, we could find ourselves back in the bottom three by the end of the weekend. But it's the hardest game we'll have to play between now and the end of the season. So if we lose this, we've got two home games coming up after that. So focus straight on them. And I'm a lot more confident going into them games now, having got a win at the weekend. So if we look at it as like a three-game block instead, losing to Leicester would not be the end of the world at all. So yeah.
No, you're absolutely right there. And then we've got Brentford on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Brentford, a team that we've tended to really struggle against up until maybe the last two or three times that we've played them. Obviously, we won the reverse fixture this year, 2-1. We drew the away game last year and then smashed them 4-0 in the Aaron Danks era of interim managers at Villa Park. So, Brentford definitely not at their best this year. They've really struggled. You know, I don't know whether it's just teams have sussed them out a bit. Obviously, they lost their captain and their striker for pretty much two-thirds of the season. They lost the starting goalkeeper to Arsenal as well. You know, two of their best players. So it's probably not a shock that they're struggling, but they're not going to go down. I think it'll be a tough game. I think Ivan Toney will probably score at the halt end and do a Zulu sign again like he did a couple of years ago. I'm sure there'll be plenty of banter of you're just a shit Ollie Watkins from the stands and all that. Yeah, I could see us maybe a 2-1 or a 3-1. I think it'd be close. You know, Brentford aren't what they have been, but they're still a decent team.
Yeah, good team.
And, you know, Thomas Frank certainly knows how to get a result over us. So, I think especially if we, you know, if we do lose to Manchester City, we will need to follow it up by getting, you know, it makes Saturday's game really important. That's the one we need to win. I can see it already. Aston Villa fashion will beat Man City and lose to Brentford, you know, but if we can get 3 points from the next two games, that's all positive. So,
yeah, no, for sure. Cool. Shall we wrap it up there then?
Well, there's one more game as well, Dan. We're going to the EFL Trophy on
Sunday. I'm going to two games this weekend. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
We're going to. So you live near Wickham now, and we. You've swung us some tickets to the EFL Trophy final, Wickham v Peterborough. How exciting! Should be a good day out.
There was a big worry when they announced the train strikes.
A couple of weeks ago,
and somehow they're not striking on the Sunday, but they are on the Saturday and the Monday.
And I didn't realise as well, it's a 4:30 kickoff as well, isn't it? It's all good. We'll work it out. Should be good. Look forward to it. And if Blues lose on Saturday, at least I've got that to look forward to. So, yeah, should be right. Yeah. Nice one. Cool. So, yeah, lovely to be back. We'll be back next week reacting to all the games we've just been previewing. Cool. So, until then, keep right on. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter and what else are we on? YouTube, TikTok, Second City Pod, 2ND City Pod.
5-star reviews, like, subscribe, get the bell on YouTube. And, yeah, we'll see you next week. And up the Villa.
Shut on the Villa, keep right on, and see you next time.